This is Venkman, and we are going to get going here. We've kind of already introduced our peeps who are with us today. We got Mr. Black joining us. We've got Root Mazer. We've got the dude, and Abe Froman is actually going to be joining us later. So that should be fun, because it just is.
Should be.
Okay, so let's talk about box office numbers this week. Anybody want to take a guess at what came in at number one at the box office?
Up.
Anybody know? No?
Could it be The Hangover again?
Oh. Huh.
Why, yes, it could.
No way.
Yes, The Hangover came in at number one again, second week in the row. Came in at $33.4 million. Is that just not great or what?
I think it's
a great movie. It's funny. People are seeing it. Word of mouth is good. Everyone's loving it, and it's making some good money. The budget on that film was $35 million, and so far the total gross is $105.3 million in its second week. So The Hangover is going strong. And yes, there is going to be a sequel. So you can bet on that.
Have they announced it, or you're just predicting?
No. The director and cast have already come out and talked about it. They're punching out a story. They're actually hoping to start shooting here near the end of the year for a sequel. So that should be awesome. So next year we're going to get another Hangover film. And they say it's most likely going to take place in a different country this time.
Like Amsterdam or something?
Or Tijuana. I don't know.
I could see that.
Mexico's too easy, though. Mexico's too easy.
Mexico is too easy, you're right.
Got to be something weird.
Like Madagascar.
Madagascar's been done.
That's true, it has.
In a different way.
Argentina.
Hmm.
Or, Turkey. So anyway, it's probably going to be in a different country, so prep up for that awesomeness. And that good.
Is it going to be the same four guys, like the same characters?
Oh, I don't see why they would. Maybe they'll add someone into the group. Maybe they won't. I don't know. You know, and you never know with these.
I'm just saying
these sequels. You think, who knows? Maybe Dane Cook will want to be a part of it. You know, and they'll bring Dane Cook into the mix. You know,
that would kill the entire movie.
And he could talk about like cats and stuff and how funny cats are.
What?
Are those the kind of jokes that Dan Cook says, talks about?
Cats? Like,
yeah, cats. I don't know. I haven't listened to Dan Cook in like so long, so I don't really care.
But didn't he just come out with something new?
What?
He just came out with a new album.
Yeah,
he
has a new thing on Comedy Central or something.
Ah, well. That's cool, whatever, you know. Number two at the box office... is up.
Yay.
Up came in number two at $30.5 million in its third week. So congratulations to Pixar for once again making a lot of money. The budget on that film was $175 million. So far it's made $187.1 million. So it's made its money back. We probably won't see a sequel, but we'll definitely see more Up. Or more Pixar movies coming at us like crazy, because they're not going to stop ever, unless.
Pixar's like one of the few companies that's doing them right, though. I mean, we're getting saturated by these CGI comedy films, but Pixar is the one that's actually doing them right. With rare exceptions here and there, but like I can't think of a bad Pixar movie except maybe Cars.
Has everyone on the panel seen Up?
Yeah.
No.
It was good.
You haven't seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it. It's on my to-do list, my laundry list.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, everyone needs a laundry list, and everyone needs to do their laundry every once in a while, so.
I do my laundry at the theater, usually.
You should do that.
Yeah, so that's next.
So, yeah, Up, great movie. If you haven't seen it, I suggest you go see it, and I suggest you go see it in 3D because it looks awesome in 3D. Even the trailers they show before the movie and the little short film before, Partly Cloudy, are awesome in 3D. So yeah. Check that out in 3D if you can, if you're up for paying the extra cash to do that.
Well, you're just looking at that number of Up right now.
Yes.
Week 3, 187. I have a feeling that with that kind of number, it might be it could be number 2. I have a feeling, you know, Transformers 2 seems like it's going to make a lot more than that, though.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt Transformers 2 is going to be one of the biggest hits of the summer. It'll definitely beat out Star Trek.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
It's not going to be a better movie. It's just going to make a lot more money.
It's going to make a freaking buttload of money. It's going to and it's going to be up between that and Harry Potter, I think, are going to be kind of, we'll see who makes more money out of those two. But I think Transformers is going to beat Harry Potter.
I hope not. I really hope not. If anything is going to beat Star Trek this year, I hope it's Harry Potter. Because if Transformers beats it, I will lose all faith in the movie-going audience. I mean...
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
If you haven't lost faith in the audience already, my friend.
I have slivers of hope. I have slivers of hope, but I'm just saying that if a movie as great as Star Trek cannot beat out something as I know the crap storm that Transformers is going to be, and yeah, it's let the insults fly, but whatever. I mean, that's the reason. If a movie like that beats out, you know, everything else in the year, then that's the reason why Hollywood is, you know, putting out all these crap films lately. Why movies don't have story anymore.
Well, yeah, the thing is, if it was all about taste, then indie films would be raking in lots of cash, but they're not.
You have a point there. You have a point.
So it's, you know, we're, you know, possibly film snobs talking about how great all these artsy films are. And people are just like, I just want my Transformers.
But hey, yeah, man, but at least you can admit it. That's awesome. A self-proclaimed film snob right there.
No, but you bring up a valid point, but I'm just saying that, you know, if you're a kind of person that doesn't like movies without a story in it, then don't go watch these Transformers or G.I. Joe or anything. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's just my snobby opinion.
I like the art films too, but I'm still a fanboy, and I'm still gonna go out and see Star Trek because Transformers too because I grew up with Transformers. I know it's not the cartoon. I know it was directed by Michael Bay, but it's gonna be an action-packed thrill ride, you know, with over-the-top action, with fighting robots. I know there's gonna be no story. I know the dialogue's gonna suck. I know the acting's gonna suck, but I know that it's going to be fun to watch, and that's why I'm going to go see it. You know?
Okay, that's a very valid point too. I mean, I can respect that at least.
Well, thank you for respecting my opinion. I appreciate it greatly.
Wow. Maybe we should move on.
I didn't mean it to sound like that, but it did.
Oh, yes, you did.
So, we're moving on. Number 3 at the box office, The Taking of Pelham 123. Opening weekend for that, $25 million. Anybody see The Taking of Pelham 123?
I did.
I did as well. What did you think about it, Mr. Black?
You actually brought up a good point about this film, is that it is the most Tony Scott film that Tony Scott has ever done. The first 10 seconds you see on screen, you're like, oh yeah, that's a Tony Scott film. It's just has his watermark all over it.
Yeah, oh, it does. The film was almost a parody of his own movies. It was just so, hey, look, this is a Tony Scott movie.
This is a remake of a Tony Scott film by Tony Scott. I mean, it was, yeah, it's just blatantly Tony Scott did this. I mean, there's no doubt.
You know how he does all the slow-mo, you know, it's like all the blur motion stuff going on all the time?
Or the tinted camera.
Really saturated.
Yes, the tinted camera.
And the contrast and how everything's kind of blown out. And, you know,
and those
it's like
weird camera camera moves that he kind of does. They're like really fast. And the weird editing. It's a lot of it's his editing style too. It's just like, it's just so blatantly like his style. It's like a John Woo film. You know a John Woo film when you're watching it, even if you don't never heard of this film before in your life. You know, oh, this is John Woo film.
Love how he brings in the funk. Is that also joking?
That's James Brown.
That's James Brown. James Brown. Funk.
Okay.
John Woo brings the slow motion. And it's not even like interesting slow motion. It's the slow motion that's like not interesting. At least when Zack Snyder slow mo's everything, it's a fight sequence. John Woo slows down.
But it's bad. Yeah.
Some of the older John Woo stuff, you know, Death in L.A. But lately, it's kind of
all of his movies looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
But back to the Taken of Pelham 1-2-3. The acting in that, nothing really too exciting going on there. I mean, you had Denzel Washington.
In all fairness, John Travolta's character was kind of interesting.
No, it was. I was just saying that Denzel Washington was just his thing. He's played that character, you know,
a million times.
So nothing really new going on there. John Travolta, over the top, you know, over the top acting, over the top character, but you know, isn't like Mr. Black said, his character was the most interesting character in the movie and the only thing that kind of kept your attention through it. So I guess that's a positive on that end. But, you know, it's a rental. You don't need to go out and jump into the theaters and see it on the big screen. You can wait.
I'll say you don't even really need to see it. I mean, there's
I don't plan on seeing it at all.
It's not a horrible movie. It just does not really stand out in any kind of way. I don't know how to really put it. I mean, you can go the rest of your life and not see this film and not ever have to worry about it. But at the same time, if you do see it, you're not going to hate it. It's just not something you ever need to see.
One of our the people in the chat, Myrocast, says that it'll be better than G.I. Joe. And you know what? I have to say that it probably will be. I don't know. The G.I. Joe just looks awful. I'm not passing judgment on it because I haven't seen the movie. I can't give it like a full-on blowout. This movie's going to suck. But from everything I've seen, it really looks like it's going to suck.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know how that goes.
They brought in Stephen Sommers, you know, and changed the story.
Yep.
Did you watch that,
Did you watch that,
Dude,
or were you talking about someone else, dude? No, I didn't watch it. I have no desire to see Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. It just looks so uninteresting to me and predictable that you know, I'd rather see The Hangover again. To tell
you
the truth.
That would be a better choice.
Go see The Hangover again.
Yeah. I still have to see Drag Me to Hell, though, so that's another one that's on my list.
No, yeah, that goes on the top of your list now. Go see Drag Me to Hell. Top of the list. Go tonight after we're done. See a late show. Enjoy it. And then get back to me.
Yeah, and then watch The Hangover right after it.
Yeah, movie just don't sleep tonight. Just watch.
Awesome.
Yep.
We good?
Yeah, we're back.
Are we back? Can everybody hear us? All right. Well, it'll not be garbled in a minute. Okay. We're just shoot. You know, G.I. Joe's again. Nice. All right. So back. You know, that's Skype for you. Sorry, folks. Skype likes to drop us. UVerse, I don't know. It's just one of those things that we have to deal with, the whole technical difficulties of doing a live broadcast. Anyway, back to the box office number. Number 4, Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian. Right? $9.6 million? Huh?
I haven't seen it yet.
My friend.
Fourth week in a row. The budget on that film was $150 million. So far, domestically, it's brought in $143.4 million. So, we've got that going for us. We've talked about that movie a lot. Don't really need to go into details. So, on to number 5, Land of the Lost. Dropping down at number 5 in its second week. That must mean that it's not a good movie, and that word of mouth is not positive. I myself haven't seen it, because I have no desire to, really. It only brought in $9.1 million. Okay, with a $100 million budget, the movie's only brought in $34.9 million so far. So, it's not really panning out the way the studio hoped it would. I know.
So,
is this officially a bomb?
Planet of Lost officially a bomb. Boom, done.
Wait, were they expecting this thing to be successful?
Of course, or otherwise, why would they made it? Some Hollywood executive was like, "Hey, dude, Land of the Lost. Tons of people watched that show in the 70s. I bet if we bring it back with Will Ferrell and some CG dinosaurs." It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a hit. Will Ferrell will bring the people in, even if it sucks. Au contrario, Universal.
I hope they fired that guy. I mean, I'm just saying. This movie just looked like crap from the beginning.
So maybe you'll stop making 70s remake TV shows into movies.
Doubt it.
Right? Probably not.
We'll probably see Laverne and Shirley up here soon.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for the Bosom Buddies movie.
Well, Tom Hanks is still around, so.
But it's going to happen. That's just a given. Sheesh. Okay, so Land of the Lost. I haven't seen it. Anybody seen it on the panel?
Nope.
No way. All right.
Anyone in the chat?
So there you go.
Anybody in the chat seen it? Land of the Lost?
Maybe this is why it's doing so bad.
We have four no's so far. So.
None of them have seen it. So, you know what? Awesome. You guys are winners. Okay, we're going to move on to round out the top 10 with Imagine That. The new... whoa!
That actually made the top 10?
There's a banshee. It just flew through my room. Crazy. Crazy banshees.
It happens.
And so Imagine That, first week in the row, $5.7 million. That's not good. Eddie Murphy just isn't a box office draw anymore because he has not made a decent movie in such a long time.
Yep.
You just know when you go when Eddie Murphy's in a movie that it's going to end up being something that no one wants to see, apparently.
Well, the problem with Eddie Murphy is he's been playing the same character for 20 years now. I mean, he's not a diversified actor in any way. He's the same exact character in every single film.
Yeah.
Even as Donkey, it's still Eddie Murphy.
Wait, Bowfinger, he played two people. Okay.
That were basically the same character.
Bowfinger was the last good film he made. Was the last film he made.
And how long ago was that? 11, 12 years ago?
Yeah.
Did any of you guys watch Dreamgirls? I didn't see that. Was he good in that? Does anyone see that?
No, I didn't.
I saw it, but
I hated the movie. I thought it was really a dumb movie, but he did good in that movie. That was a good one. That was a good performance. I actually think if he kept doing that, he'd get more play. Well, I mean, he's obviously getting play, but I think he'd get more credit. He'd have a little bit more credibility behind his name if he kept cranking out those Dreamgirls performances.
Yeah, he's got to do some good movies, you know. Stop doing these family films that he's just kind of sold out on, and they're not good. I mean, he's obviously doing it because he needs the money. He's not doing it because he loves the material. So
what if he did another Beverly Hills Cop kind of a thing?
Well. That's in the works, apparently. Yeah, Beverly Hills Cop 4 had actually been in talks. Brett Ratner has said he's directing the film. So it's going to be a Brett Ratner, Eddie Murphy
yes,
movie.
That's the director you need to bring back your career. That's the director you need to bring back your career. Probably the worst director in Hollywood right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to revitalize my career. I'm using Brett Ratner. Pew.
Yeah, so...
He did those Shrek films. He's good enough.
What was that?
We're getting choppy.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone's pretty choppy.
What's going on?
I don't know. It's you first.
It's Skynet.
Number 7, we've got Star Trek is still in the top 10 at $5.6 million.
Nice.
So far, the movie's brought in $232 million. So Star Trek's going strong. See, number 8, Terminator Salvation at $4.6 million. We've got Angels and Demons at number 9 with $4.2. And number 10... hanging in there by a thread is Drag Me to Hell at $3.8 million. More people should be seeing this movie. I'm sorry.
Wait, why is Terminator doing better than Drag Me to Hell? That doesn't make sense.
Why is Imagine That doing better than Drag Me to Hell?
Imagine That just came out, so.
It's third.
What's in more theaters?
Yeah, but still, people should still be going to see Drag Me to Hell because that movie was awesome. A couple other films that I'd like to talk about that recently came out but didn't make the top 10. Away We Go. I know the dude went and saw that one. Want to give us a little background on that film and what you thought of it?
Definitely. Well, Away We Go, I mean, it's not surprising that it didn't break the top 10. It's not in wide release yet. It's still in select cities. But Away We Go... great film. Sam Mendes directed it, starring Maya Rudolph and John Krasinski. If you like John Krasinski, you're gonna like the show. I mean, he plays himself. You know, he plays Jim Halpert. Just a lovable guy, funny movie, just everything you expect in it. It's got a great soundtrack, lots of laughs. You know, heartwarming, blah blah blah, all that stuff. Just a good indie movie.
Blah blah blahs. Awesome.
You know, it's got the whole Juno feel to it. I really like it. It's just a good movie. couple things in there. It kind of gets a little drawn out, kind of slow, but I mean, you know, nothing that you can't, nothing that isn't made up for with the comedy and just the good story. So I suggest you seeing that when it comes to your city, if it does, which it will at some point. But yeah, good film. Away we go.
Cool.
How's Jim Gaffigan in that?
Who?
Jim Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan.
He's the bald guy married to Allison Janney's character.
Funny guy. I know who you're talking about. No, funny guy, funny character. A couple of laughs out of him. Now it goes through as they go through city to city. And basically what happens is they're just, I mean, looking for a place to settle down. They got a little girl on the way. You know, every cameo appearance, they're only in every place for about 15 minutes. So, I mean, you see Catherine O'Hara and Jeff Daniels for a little bit. And then this other dude who you're talking about, who everyone else knows but me apparently. No, they're there for about 15 minutes. You know, they all just kind of put in their little bits. One that was out of place that I didn't like, Maggie Gyllenhaal. Who's good? I don't have anything against her, but she plays a weird hippie professor. You know, it was kind of one of those weird, awkward, kind of painful things for me to watch. Maybe it was just me, but aside from that one little part, you know, it was really good, really funny.
Awesome.
Cool.
The soundtrack is awesome too.
The movie's only playing in 45 theaters, so chances are you're not going to be able to see it if you're somewhere in like the middle section of America.
Like in Utah. But,
So
all I can say is they're advertising the crap out of it here.
Oh yeah, they are, for being such a small, but I think they're advertising the crap out of it here in like LA and New York. I know they're not advertising the crap out of it in like Kansas, you know.
Advertising huge on the web as well. I mean, you see these things all over the place, these ads for which.
Well, it does have what's his name? Jim from The Office, so.
Yeah, John Krasinski.
John Krasinski, sorry.
He cusses too. He's kind of got a foul mouth at times. It's fun to watch. Fun to watch that.
It's fun to watch Jim cuss.
Fun to watch him, you know, drop some F bombs.
Nice.
And talk about female body parts, you know.
Okay.
Fun time.
So we have that going for us. Awesome. Another movie I'd like to talk about that opened up this weekend. Only in 8 theaters, unfortunately. But I'm sure it will, expand as the word of mouth goes and people start talking about it.
More than 7.
Yeah, it's more than 7. But the movie Moon.
Yes.
Sam Rockwell. The new Sam Rockwell film opened up this weekend, and I got a chance to see this movie up at Sundance, at the Sundance Film Festival, and it was one of my favorite films up there. I absolutely loved it.
Everybody needs to see it. Everybody needs to see it.
Such a great film. It's really got a great retro look to it. You know, very low budget. The film was only made on a budget of like $5 million.
Yeah, it's $5 million.
For a sci-fi film that takes place on the moon, and what they did with this little amount of money is absolutely incredible. Such a great film, and I have nothing but good things to say about it. It's just the direction that sci-fi needs to go into at this point. It's like the way sci-fi was back in the, you know,
when sci-fi was good,
the late 70s, you know, when sci-fi was awesome, when you got like, you know, the great films like Alien and
Blade Runner,
2001 Space Odyssey, Blade Runner, all these great films, and Terminator. And here we are now, you know, this Duncan Jones, the director, comes back and brings us a great character movie about a guy that's living on the moon by himself. And the
by
way
by himself?
by his lonesome self, and how
by he be living on the moon by himself.
But there's some more elements into that that are just that I don't want to go into because it'll spoil the movie for you. But Sam Rockwell gives an Academy Award a winning performance in that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
He definitely
gives an Academy Award in the film as well.
Yes. the Academy Award is given to him by Kevin Spacey as a robot. So that's very, very interesting. But I suggest you go see it.
And this one thing I want to mention is this guy Duncan Jones, who's, you know, a young guy. He's literally in our generation. You know, he's in his early 30s. This guy understands science fiction the way it needs to be told. He's an effects guy too. You know, he has a background in special effects, but he understands that it's got to be a movie about story, not so much about CG and you know, just flashy effects and all this crap. He understands that science fiction has kind of lost its way in recent times as effects technology has gotten better. Science fiction has been kind of going in a different direction than it should be. So,
the way of the buffalo.
I mean, it's an original idea. Yeah. That's the thing. It's an original idea. This movie isn't a remake. It's not a reimagining.
It's not based on a story. It's not based on a novel or anything.
It's an original story, an original script with an original character. This is something that we don't see in Hollywood anymore because every day I am announcing something that's being remade. It's absolutely ridiculous how many movies are being remade. And here we have, you know, guys coming up and coming directors that are taking a chance on something new, that are putting their careers on the line for something new, something different, something that studios don't have the balls to go out and do on their own. So these filmmakers are doing it themselves. And then the studios are wising up and being like, oh, that's a great movie. Man, what do we think of this? Let's buy it. Yeah. And then they'll remake it. Absolutely ridiculous. We're going to see a remake of The Moon next year.
Yes, seriously. This is the big budget remake of Moon. Everything's like CG and it just destroys the entire point of the film. But yeah, go watch Moon. You will not be disappointed. We posted a review or an interview with Duncan Jones that I had recently on the site, so go check that out.
Yeah, it's a really good interview. The guy knows his movies and he knows what's going on. You know, he knows how to tell a story. Can't argue with that. So so that's kind of the movies I wanted to talk about that opened up, been in theaters, stuff like that. But one of the things that we also like to do here is we like to do this box office history thing where we go back in time and we see what the top five movies were back in some random year.
We haven't done this for a while.
We haven't done this in a while, but it's always fun to do. It's always interesting, you know, a fun and interesting thing to see what was going on, what was popular, you know, years ago. So we're going back to June 1994. This same weekend in June, back in 1994, does anybody want to take a guess at what movie came in number one in June, second week of June in 1984?
Terminator.
94.
Is that Jurassic? Is that around that same time or is that before? I mean, after.
Did you just say Jurassic in 84?
94.
94 people. Gosh.
Why do I keep hearing 84?
1984.
There's no Jurassic Park going on here, people.
I'm gonna guess True Lies. That's the only movie I know of that came out in 94.
Well, I'm gonna tell you that you're wrong, my friend. It was not Jurassic. Or it was not what movie did you say?
Wow, True Lies is what I said.
No, it was not True Lies. Okay.
The only other movie I know of that came out in 94-ish was The Crow, but I don't think it's that.
No, it's what not about, The Crow.
Was Gump 95?
It was not Gump. There's no Gump. So you ready? Give up?
No. I want to guess some more. No, continue. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay. The number one movie, 1994, in June, was Speed.
Oh,
gosh. Oh my gosh.
The Keanu Reeves hit Sandra Bullock come in at number one at $14.4 million.
That actually made number one. I can't believe that made number one. Wow.
Yeah, it made number one. It was its first week in the row, first week it came out. You know, the bus can't go under 55 miles an hour because if it does, it blows up. And if it goes over 88, it travels back in time. So,
I've got to say a joke that Zach Galifianakis from Hangover. He does this great joke about. He's like, I love to go into watch the movies, and I like to go see a movie when it's like in its 12th week, and there's like one other person in the theater, and I sit down right next to that person, and when they go, excuse me, I say. I can't hear what Keanu is saying.
You're such a biter, Abe. Biter.
Awesome.
I don't think you're a biter. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, Speed was number one.
Gosh.
Number two at the box office was a huge hit in its first couple weeks. The Flintstones.
Oh my God.
I love it. When I was a kid. Come on, man.
In its third week in the row, the Flintstones brought in $12.6 million. In 3 weeks, the movie made $81.9 million. That's not bad.
That was like the beginning of the end for me.
So, yes.
They did the bedrock. You know, the like bedrock. Get it?
Yeah.
Hey, so, Fred, we're not a cartoon anymore.
Who was?
Yeah, wasn't it Rick Moranis?
Yeah, Rick Moranis. Yes,
Rick Moranis.
That was like the last movie he's done. I don't know. I haven't seen that guy in a while.
And John Goodman was Fred, right?
Yep.
Yeah, John Goodman.
Okay, you know
Fred.
What?
Rosie totally O'Donnell was Betty.
One movie that does need to get remade. Speaking of Rick Moranis, is Little Shop of Horrors, and he needs to play himself.
Wait, they are remaking Little Shop of Horrors,
well,
right?
That's what I want to see.
They're remaking the movie. Okay, Little Shop of Horrors is being remade.
No way.
I'm not joking. Are you ready for this? It's being remade. I can't remember the director's name. The guy has only directed straight-to-DVD movies, straight-to-DVD horror movies. The last one he did, I think, was like The Grudge 4 or The Grudge 3 or 4 or 5 or something
please
like that.
Please tell me Rick Moranis is in it. Just please
no,
tell me.
Rick Moranis is not in it. It will not be. It is going to be a dark horror film about a plant and a man that feed each other people or something like that.
Oh, man, come on. It's got to be musical. We want to see Steve Martin again. We want to see
musical.
There's a lot of things we want to see Abe or dude, and that's, those things aren't happening anymore.
If you want to see that movie again, I suggest you just go buy it, dude. Because
and then
that's
cry myself
your
to
best
sleep.
Chance to see all the people that you want to see back together and doing their thing in Little Shop of Horrors.
Maybe
I have
on
a
Broadway.
Feeling though that I have a feeling this thing is going to go straight to DVD though. I don't see this as being a major release.
It has a big time producer. It's got a big producer behind it that is trying to get it to go theatrical. So, I wouldn't doubt that it does. But if it doesn't. Awesome. Anyway.
I have some Rick Moranis rumors for you guys. Okay. So I know you're all just dying to know what Rick Moranis is up to.
If you tell me he's gay, I'm walking away right now. I'm leaving the podcast.
Well, rumor has it that he will be back for Ghostbusters 3.
Nice. See, there we go.
See, how did I not know that? That was
That's
the first
uplifting.
That's the first time I've ever heard of that, because I've heard he's like totally dead set against it. He hasn't done a movie in a long time. That's because he's gone through some really hard times with family and stuff recently, but which is why he hasn't been in movies in a while.
Yeah, the last big movie he did, or quote-unquote big movie he did, was the Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves like 12, 13 years ago.
Yes, yes. Sees Apple in the chat is kind of they're kind of surprised that there's a Ghostbusters 3 movie. Yes, the video game is coming out, but there's also going to be a Ghostbusters movie. Everyone that was in the original films are signed back to come on. Harold Ramis is writing the script with a couple writers from The Office, the TV show The Office. Everyone's back. Bill Murray, Sigourney Weaver, Dan Aykroyd.
Ernie Hudson.
So, yeah, all those guys are coming back. But downside to this whole thing, they're passing the torch on to a younger generation. Yes, the old Ghostbusters will be there as mentors, but there's going to be a younger group of Ghostbusters. They're thinking around 5 new young Ghostbusters and 1 or 2 girls into the mix, which Dan Aykroyd says he would like to see Alyssa Milano as one of them, what? And Eliza Dushku as the other one.
Oh, gosh.
So
the irony is I could see both of them doing this and it being good. I could totally see them doing that. I mean, I don't really care for either actress, but I could see them doing this and it'd be turning out good. It's weird.
Yeah. So that's happening. So before we got on the tangent there, let me just finish off the top 5 in 1994. Number 3 was City Slickers 2. Number 4 was Maverick. The Mel Gibson
good movie.
Film. Number 5 was Renaissance Man. So that rounds out your top 5 in June, this week in June, 1994.
Wait, what was Renaissance Man again?
That was the one with Danny DeVito, right?
Yes.
Where he's like a teacher at a army base or something like that.
Oh, okay. I remember now. Comedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be the one.
That would be the film we speak of.
Wait, huh? What?
Yes.
That would be the film we speak of. Continue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Continue.
You're scaring me. A big piece of news that came out this week that I thought we'd talk about. The live action Akira movie. Oh, look, I cracked my voice. I'm going through puberty. Okay. So, Akira, live-action movie based on the classic anime series, has been canned. It's no longer happening. It's dead.
Yes.
It's over. Akira is not going on. Leonardo DiCaprio and his production company were involved in doing it. Rumor had it that... why did his name just leave? Oh, Joseph Gordon-Levitt was going to be in it. And it was going to be produced by Leonardo DiCaprio and directed by first-time director by the name of, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right, but it's Rory Robinson, who's an Irish film director. He's only made a couple film shorts. Akira was going to be his first major motion picture film, and the director, this first-time director, drops out. He leaves the project. Here's a guy, right, that has the chance of a lifetime to direct a movie that, I don't know what director wouldn't want a chance to take on Akira, who drops out of the movie. Why? I have no idea. We can only speculate that he found out you got a better gig. Perhaps he, you know, got cold feet. His confidence level dropped. Didn't think could take on the project. Maybe he read the script and, you know, just had the balls to say, hey, this script sucks. I love Akira, and I don't want to be the one to ruin it.
That's what I'm hoping.
And left the project. Several factors could have gone on. Regardless, he's left. The movie is dead. It's not happening. Good. And, you know, there may be a chance that one day it will come up. You know, I'm sure one day it will eventually get made, but probably not for a long time. When the movie was first announced, it was supposed to come out this summer. So that's not happening.
I just don't see how they could make this and make it well live action, because it's like a very definitive anime. And for most people that know, live action animes, most of them do not work. So I just don't see how they can make Akira, which is like the epic of animes, into a live action and make it work. I don't see it.
Well, the movie was going to be a two-part movie, so it was going to be kind of like a Kill Bill style type thing where you had one and two to complete the full film so they could tell the whole story. For me, I wanted to see this movie. I'm a huge fan of the anime, and I wanted to see this movie. I was curious on how this would look in a live-action world. With the technology we have today, the visuals could have blown us away, and I was really looking forward to that. But visuals aren't everything. Obviously, if the script isn't solid, yeah, Movie's going to suck. But still, the curiosity gets the better of me. Akira, one of my favorite anime films of all time, I'd love to see, you know, brought into the live-action limelight. But no more.
I think it would be better as like a miniseries, a live-action miniseries.
You know, I would
honestly,
say yes.
I would rather see that. So
I would say yes, but then the budget would get cut and they wouldn't be able to put in, you know, the amount of stuff. Plus, they said that this live action movie was going to be more closer to the source material of the manga comic book than the animated movie. So it was going to follow more of the comic book than what the animated movie was, which also was a plus in my book as well. But again, we're not looking forward to that anymore. Sorry, everybody. Or congratulations if you didn't want to see it brought to life anyway. So there you have that.
Cool.
And there's no segue here. Bad segue.
Then just
they kind of just
let's just to move on.
But what do you guys all think about this? I'm gonna take a question. I'm gonna give a question to all you guys. Let me have it. What do you think? J.J. Abrams and Tom Cruise coming back for Mission Impossible 4.
I'm all for it, baby. I'm all for it.
If Abrams is doing it, then I'm for it. Even though I'm not a Tom Cruise fan, but Abrams is that good of a director to do it. So,
what about you, Mazer? Mazer, you're a big fan.
Yeah, you know, you just see what he did. Took a fresh take on the series, yeah, and also just you know, all of his stuff he did with Alias. There's more spy gear and kind of stuff that he could throw in there that could make it feel like a more credible Mission Impossible as opposed to what we saw with the John Woo version. I can't even describe what that was. It was weird.
What do you think? Are you in for a Mission Impossible 4?
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm into anything J.J. Abrams is going to do. I don't care for Tom Cruise. And I, you know, Mission Impossible, whatever. I think I saw the second one, and that's where I stopped. But J.J.
Abrams did, too, as well. So you should go check it out.
Yeah, the third one is the best one. The third one is the one with Abrams, yeah.
No, the first one is the best one. The third one.
But anyway, I'm down for whatever J.J. Abrams is going to throw at me, you know.
I'm gonna throw this monkey wrench into it now. J.J. Abrams directed the third one. So far, he is only producing this fourth one. He is not on to direct. See, that changes the whole element, doesn't it?
Yeah, that would depend a lot on who he's got directing it.
So, Yeah, interesting, right?
Who have we seen do espionage and stuff like that that's been good lately? Have we seen anything other than...
Well, there's the Bourne series.
Paul Greengrass.
Yeah, Paul Greengrass. Brett Ratner.
Oh,
gosh. I'm just joking.
People need to stop working. People need to stop hiring that guy.
I didn't mean to get on another tangent there. That always happens whenever we mention Brett Ratner.
Him and Michael Bay just need to stop working. I'm sorry. And McG.
So that's, yeah. I don't know. I'm interested. I love the third one. I'm interested to see what they do with the fourth one. I'm not completely out, but at the same time, if Abrams was involved, it'd be a lot easier for me to accept. I don't know how this is all going to work out, you know, with Paramount, because Paramount pretty much kicked Tom Cruise off the lot, and I believe Paramount still owns the rights to Mission Impossible. So unless, you know, they're going to buy it, you know, unless Paramount sells them the rights, or I don't know how that's all going to work out. If J.J. Abrams is producing and J.J. is with Paramount, maybe that he can connect the truce between the two and get that fourth one going, which will probably is what will end up happening. Well, Abrams will be like, hey, I want to make a Mission Impossible 4. And Paramount will be like, J.J., we're going to do anything you want to do. So...
Well, what may have happened is maybe Cruise's new founded studio bought Mission Impossible, and they tried to get Abrams to direct, but contractually he can't direct the film because he's doing stuff for Paramount. So maybe the best he could do is produce.
Yeah, well, that's true.
That could be true. That could be.
I don't know. We'll have to see how the details wash out about that. But.
Maybe Tom Cruise will direct it. Imagine.
Tom Cruise, I don't think, has ever directed anything, so...
Maybe this will be it.
I don't think he has any ambition to be behind the director's chair. I've never heard of him. Usually you hear them doing kind of a little thing here or there. He just wants to act.
Yeah,
he just wants money.
He's there to look at the camera and be like... Yeah, I'm Tom Cruise. Sup?
I'm 50 and I'm still cool.
And make millions of dollars doing it.
Is he look at the camera and go, this just got a whole lot more impossible.
No, it's a whole lot more impossibler. So JJ, Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible 4, probably won't see it then, you know, for another few years, but probably going to happen. So, how about that Steven Sommers and G.I. Joe movie that's coming out, right, guys? Awesome.
Gosh.
Okay, that wasn't very... You guys aren't very energetic or excited about that. I'm sorry to even bring it up. Please
Hollywood
forgive me for ruining your minds.
Hollywood is raping my childhood.
So check this out, though. Check this out. Steven Sommers, this rumor broke this week. Okay, Steven Sommers fired from the set or fired off the G.I. Joe movie. Okay, now this is only a rumor. You know, I'm not gonna come out and say this is all true. The people are denying it already. You know, Paramount. You know, some of the producers and everybody are coming out saying no, that's not true. You know, that never happened. We never fired Steven Sommers. He's still on the movie. He's still making it. Blah 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 blah. At the same time, I just can't help but think, you know what? I think he was. Because why is the studio going to come out and say that why would the studio come out and say that he was? You know, they're not going to, you know, tarnish a movie that's already hanging by a thread that no one really wants to see. In the fanboy world, anyway. Anybody that's a G.I. Joe fan that has seen this trailer, you know, is throwing up all over their computer screens. And it's absolutely disgusting.
Have we gotten a hold of anybody who's been able to post up what they've seen, like when they did test screenings? Because that's a big thing. And the person who kind of broke the news on the fact that he was fired said like it was like the worst tested film in the studio's history.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they're saying. I know someone that does work at Paramount, and I kind of threw this out at him to see if he had any insight with it. He wouldn't give me any major details, but the one thing he did say after, you know, he read all this stuff was, you know what? He said that he didn't say it was true, but he said that there is truth to it. There's truth in there, but he wouldn't tell me what was true. Even though everything was bad in the mix of everything, I know there's truth to it. I know we're not getting the full truth. We're gonna eventually see the movie for ourselves, and we're probably just gonna be disappointed in it, unfortunately. That's sad. I'm a huge G.I. Joe fan, and I've been looking forward to a live-action movie for a long time. And now that it's coming out, I'm not really excited about it.
Now you know how I feel about Transformers.
That's too bad. But I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it, because I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
We'll all go see it, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's only one thing I want to see.
Curiosity. Yeah, again, curiosity is going to get the better of
Sienna
me.
Sienna Miller? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, you know it. No, I'm dead serious. The only thing I really care to see in this is the Baroness. Sienna Miller's Baroness. And actually, you know what? Christopher Eccleston as Destro, because I'm a Christopher Eccleston fan. And I think he's a great choice for that character, but the rest of the movie just looks like crap. I mean, where'd they get the exosuits from?
Out of the accelerator suits?
The accelerator suits?
Oh, that's what they're calling them?
Yeah, they got them from Iron Man.
That makes sense.
Iron Man let him borrow some of the suits that he created. They're going to go run like 80 miles an hour and jump up the side of buildings like monkeys and still not be able to stop Cobra from what they're doing. So what's the point if they can't stop blowing up the Eiffel Tower? Does it make sense?
I think the worst part about this movie, besides the director, is the casting. Look at the cast on this film. You have Marlon Wayans, Brendan Fraser. I mean, it's just like...
Hey, they're saying they lost the sound.
What?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Mazer?
It looks like we got disconnected. Are we reconnected now? Hello?
Can you hear us now?
Okay,
they say we're back.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, Joe hates bad comments. That's why the film silenced us. Yes, Wayback Machine, that is why.
No wonder we lost like 10 viewers. They thought we were just cut out. Well, yeah, we're back, everybody. Yay! All right, so G.I. Joe, Steven Sommers firing rumor, but I'm sure there's some truth to it. So
even if it was true, it wouldn't matter at this point. The film's already shot. I mean, they already filmed it.
True that.
The only thing they could try to fix it in is an editing, but there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, exactly. Just a couple more things I want to talk about before we close up here. Did everyone see the new trailer for Shutter Island? Martin Scorsese's new movie.
Yes.
What does everybody think about that awesomeness? Huh?
Awesomeness.
Dude, if you have not seen this, you must watch.
I haven't seen it.
Because
I will be devil's advocate.
Shutter Island is going to be, is going to be one of the best movies of the year. It probably will be the best movie of the year. I think that Shutter Island is going to definitely be nominated for Best Picture, if not win.
I don't think it's going to be as great as you do.
Oh, dude, I think it is, my friend.
I can already predict the ending.
Dude, I already know the ending. I read the book.
There you go.
I read the book. I love the book. After I read the book, I said, man, this is going to make one hell of a great movie if anyone ever does it. Then when Martin Scorsese was attached, I was like, that's it. Academy Award winner right here. It's going to happen. And then when Leonardo DiCaprio was attached, I was like, yes. He'd be perfect for the part of Teddy because Teddy's the main character in the movie. in the story. And when he was announced as being a cast, I'm like, you know what? This could possibly be the year that Leonardo DiCaprio gets his Oscar. I know he'll get nominated. I don't know if he'll win, but the character in the story, if the actor is able to do that and take it and, you know, pound it out with, you know, awesome acting, then it's Academy Award material. So I just think this movie is going to be a huge Oscar contender this year. It's probably going to be the best movie of the year. That's my opinion. You're welcome to yours. Everybody, chime in on what you thought of the trailer, if you saw it.
I thought it was great. I think it's going to be a good movie.
I do too.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm in.
I'm not going to say anything.
We'll say
it's
it, dude.
It's going to be good, man. I mean, come on. It's Martin Scorsese. Say. It's okay, Martin look. Scorsese. Oh,
what's it about?
It's a good source material. It's Leonardo DiCaprio, Mark Ruffalo. Come on. It's
well, look. Okay. Let me explain myself then. I love Martin Scorsese. I think he's one of the best directors we have. It's no secret that I am not a fan of DiCaprio. I don't hate him. I just don't think he's as big a deal as everybody else does. The movie looks kind of cool, but I'd have to see the movie to really judge it, because when I'm seeing from the trailers, is the kind of movie that I've seen many times before. It's not bringing anything new to me or anything. And not so much new, but like, it's not as jaw-dropping to me as it is for you guys. I was like, okay, yeah, I've seen these kind of things before. Granted, it is Scorsese, and I love Scorsese. But, I don't know. I could see why it would be an Academy Award film if in fact it does get nominated. But that doesn't say anything to me. There's a lot of Academy Award films that I just couldn't stand, so. But I don't know. I just, to me, it doesn't look like it's going to be as great as you guys think it will be.
Okay, that's fair.
Being said, I'm not saying it's going to be bad, and I will still probably go see it, but I don't know.
Bankman, what's the movie about? What's the book, and what's the movie about?
This U.S. Marshal kind of goes in. These two U.S. Marshals, DiCaprio and Ruffalo, go onto an island that is home to a mental or an insane asylum for the mentally insane, the criminally insane. And while they're on the island, they're searching for a patient that has gone missing. And as they start investigating this whole missing patient thing, things start to unravel about what's really going on at the hospital. I can't really go a lot into it without giving the movie away, the story away, because there's so much to the story.
It's a period piece too, right? It's like takes place in like the 50s or something.
It takes place in the 1950s when, you know, mental institutes were like
hell.
Just hell on earth. Yeah. And that's another thing for me. For some reason, I've always had this fascination with these old school mental institutes, and I don't know. It baffles the hell out of me that doctors, what these doctors would do to their patients and stuff, and that just that kind of stuff interests me. Which is, maybe that helps in my whole interest in this movie. But the movie also stars Ben Kingsley. You know, the guy's a great actor. Michelle Williams, Patricia Clarkson, and even Jackie Earle Haley has a role in the movie. He'll play a crazy mental patient in there. He's actually in the trailer as well, and so I'm sure when you watch it, you'll be able to pick him out in there, because it's got that classic crazy look of death.
Just does that so well, though.
I know.
On DVD?
It's probably Christmas or something.
I have no idea.
All right, continue. I'm sorry.
no problem. So it's got a lot going for it, and I'm excited for it. And you know, I'm just out there trying to get everybody else pumped up about it. Even though you're probably not, some people in the chat are saying that you know, it doesn't sound like it's, you know, their type of film or that it looks boring. And that's cool. You know, everyone's in on their own opinion. I'm just trying to tell you that, you know, the story's awesome. And I think, you know, after reading the book, it's an original story. It's great source material, and I think it's just going to make for a great film. So, that's what I'm saying. That's me. So, yeah, Shutter Island, right on.
Right on, brother, right on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, is it just me? Or is anyone else on KZ that there's no new TV to, like, kind of latch onto and kind of look forward
to?
No,
on contraire, my friends, Burn Notice is back. Yeah.
Sorry, and True Blood started. True Blood starts tonight. Starts back up tonight on HBO. So, I mean, not on general TV, but on cable and those places. Yes, we're gonna see some new TV. We're gonna see some new TV.
Yeah, but I will say.
Besides that,
yeah, summer is usually pretty slow. I mean, last year we had some pretty cool summer shows, some summer, you know, summer TV shows in the summer. Now it's kind of like there's not really much this year. At least nothing new either.
Yeah.
Unless you're a fan of these, like, Sci-Fi Channel test series that they always do that last maybe half a season and that never work. But Sci-Fi Channel loves doing, like, the new one is going to be Warehouse 13. Which is, I don't know, we'll see how any of these turn out.
Yeah. But as for movies coming out this week, we've got The Proposal, which stars Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds.
Fast.
It's it's about a book editor that is forced to marry her male assistant, in order to, stay in the country because she's being deported
to Canada.
So that's going to be.
What's funny is Sandra Bullock is American and Ryan Reynolds in real life is Canadian.
It's like they switched it up. It's like the Twilight Zone.
I actually had the chance to see that this weekend.
What?
You saw it?
I saw it. I saw it this weekend. I saw it the other
day. Really?
What was it?
Yeah, it's exactly what you think it's going to be. I mean, but
is Ryan Reynolds at least funny in it?
What you're saying is the girls are going to like it.
Yes. Oh, yes. If you're a girl, you'll love it. You know, I laughed. I'm not going to say there weren't some funny parts, you know, which you can expect. I like Ryan Reynolds. He's a funny guy. But, it's what you'd expect from this kind of movie.
I don't really buy that kind of chemistry.
Go see it with your wife. You'll have a good time.
Nice. All right.
Good date movie.
Okay, there you go. It's a good date movie, people. It's a good date movie. But you know what would make a better date movie? Ready for this?
Drag Me to Hell.
Year One. Jack Black and Michael Cera.
Yes.
Oliver Platt comes out this weekend.
And, awesome.
This is, you know, the comedy of a couple lazy hunter-gatherers who are banished from their primitive village, and they set off on an epic journey through the ancient world that no longer exists. So, that looks funny. Harold Ramis directed it. Harold Ramis, if you don't know, he's the guy that, you know, did, like, great movies like Meatballs, Ghostbusters, Caddyshack, some of the great comedy classics. And so with someone like Harold Ramis, you just can't go wrong. You can't. I don't see how you can. So, plus the trailers just look funny. So I'm in. I'm going to see it. I'm excited to see it. So rock
Olivia
on.
Wilde is in it, so you can't go wrong.
Oh, yeah.
See?
I know Froman over there likes Olivia Wilde, so.
Indeed, my friend.
He likes her a little too much.
A little bit too much. It kind of hurts my heart.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Apparently, there's a lot of cameos in this thing, too. I mean, like Horatio Sands, Hank Azaria.
Yeah, it's gonna be
Sandra Berkeley,
Paul Rudd, David Cross.
Yeah, so it's gonna be a fun flick.
Yeah, so you know this probably will take out The Hangover, replace The Hangover hit number one next week is what my prediction is. So, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see, but I'm looking forward to it. But does anybody else have anything to add to the podcast tonight? Anything anybody want to talk about? Good?
Well, it turns out that Megan Fox is actually CG.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
She's not a real person. She's just a CG character all this whole time.
They created her for Transformers. That is true.
Wow.
Yep. Some of the best CG we've ever seen.
Yeah, I have to agree.
If anyone's curious as to what they're talking about, there's a video that Bankman posted up of really, really funny of some guys, you know, saying, oh, yeah, we did the effects for Transformers. It's kind of like a making of, a fake making of, and talking about how she's all computer generated. You know, it's like, oh, man, we showed Mike.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We showed Michael Bay the first Megan Fox, and he said too hot, so we had to go back and tone it down a bit.
Because nobody that hot can be real, right?
Yeah.
And in the chat, Wolfenen asks if she's still dating Brian Austin Green. That would be, according to her Twitter, no, she's not. So looks she's like available.
A lot of people are saying her and Shia LaBeouf are...
gosh.
Mingling it up, you know, so.
Yeah, well.
Why is he making so many movies?
Mingling's a strong word. So, you know, we're not a gossip blog.
That's true.
Yeah.
But,
we don't care what they wore to the Emmys or whatever.
But, yeah. So, anyway, if no one else has got anything to add, then I guess we'll
close it up.
We'll close it up tonight. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight for our live podcast. We really appreciate it. Appreciate your input. It's always nice to be able to go off what you guys are saying in the chat and, you know, to get conversations started and stuff like that. So, you know, we really appreciate you guys being here and hanging out with us tonight. Pretty much here every Sunday, so... You know, you're welcome to always come back. Join us.
Bring your friends and family.
Yeah, bring your friends and family. You know, get some popcorn, some cheese, and let's yeah, some popcorn cheese. And cheese. Man. What's up?
Okay. So, I ain't judging.
And like always, come to the site every day. We're updating. We're always on top of things. Whenever there's breaking news we think you guys are going to be interested in, we're up, we're posting it, we're bringing it to you as soon as we can. So, that being said, we are an awesome website, and thank you for coming by. Thank you for joining us, and say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Night.
We're awesome listeners.